This is Straight Talk Live with Yonah Budd on News Talk 1010.
And good evening. Welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight. I hope you're having a wonderful day and a good evening. And all excited to get your week on starting tomorrow, whether it's back to work or another week of holidays or getting ready for this back to school stuff. You're listening to Yonah Budd here on In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010. We're on the iHeartRadio Network. I'm here with my good friend and partner, Patrick O'Neill. He's in the studio making stuff happen, and I'm in my man cave doing what I got to do here. It's really quite amazing. I got monitors and speakers and microphones. It's really quite cool. Anyway, wanted to talk to you about stuff that matters. That's what we do here. I'm the clinical director and the co-founder at The Farm in Stouffville. We deal with mental health and addiction treatment in a residential setting. I deal with kids in crisis. I'm a private investigator dealing with mental health and addiction issues as it relates to crime. I'm a retired chaplain. I talk to people like you and me and Patrick every day about the stuff that bothers them. And these days, there's a lot of conversation around anxiety and depression and uncertainty and panic around what the pandemic will lead to going into the future, especially these days. Big panic around going back to school. And as this pandemic wears on, parents need to be paying attention to the symptoms in children, anxiety symptoms in particular. Medical specialists and professionals are saying that we're seeing a large spike with young kids, teenagers, young children who just, you know, are having a really hard time and just not quite sure what to look at. So here's a story about a kid named Jake, and he was complaining to his mom about having stomach pains and constantly having cramps and such. And his mother finally decided to take him to see a gastrointestinal specialist at a medical center. And they did all kinds of tests, which included an endoscopy to inspect the boy's stomach and digestive tract. So they did all kinds of medical testing and found no signs of anything that would cause that kind of discomfort. So we're talking about Jake and his tummy pain. And now the doctor referred Jake to a pediatric psychologist, and any chance that, you know, perhaps the chance of anxiety might be causing such severe cramps. He's only 6 years old at the time of this particular story, and he was sick to his stomach all the time. He had anxiety over uncertainties of, you know, going back to school and participating in sports, extracurricular activities, hitting young people, especially these days, really hitting them hard. And children's health specialists are seeing an increase in patients with stomach issues and chronic diarrhea and constipation caused by high levels of anxiety. So it sounds and feels physical, but it's generally, in this particular case, in Jake's particular case, driven by high level of anxiety and panic and worry and all kinds of stuff. And in this particular case of this story recently, he's only 6 years old, right? Does this sound like you? Are you worried about anybody in your family as it relates to the pandemic, especially kids? 416-872-1010 is how we get to play together. Or text me at 71010. Let me know that you're out there. It's always great to get text messages from y'all, knowing that you're out there listening and that we're making some difference. And any ideas and thoughts as it relates to the show, please fire them back to me at 71010. So there's all kinds of issues that parents have to weigh where they're sending their kids back to school. It's creating a lot of anxiety. I'm getting a lot of phone calls from moms in particular, a few dads, but moms in particular. I had a couple of grandmothers that were looking after their kids while the parents were at work and such, and they were kind of the, you know, primary caregivers. So people are really concerned. Parents are really concerned about sending their kids back to school or getting them involved in the sports that they used to be involved. And experts are saying that you need to weigh their emotional well-being right alongside of the physical risks, right? So children get very stressed out at the prospect of going back to school these days, attending in-person classes. I had a couple of kids call me or their parents put them in touch with me, and they're crazy anxiety about going back to school. Am I going to get COVID? Am I going to die? What happens if I get sick? And so on and so forth. So there is an anxiety-induced psychosomatic pain that can come in the form of headaches. So I'm talking about things you should be looking for in your kids. 71010 if you want to reach out and talk to me. 416-872-1010 if you want to reach out and talk to us. That would be the best way for you to reach us tonight. 416-872-1010. So it goes on to talk about things like butterflies in your tummy, right? Sometimes it's just butterflies in your tummy. Sometimes it's so crippling that it, you know, some kids become wheelchair bound by these horrible stomach pains. I had them when I was young, like really young, and I was in and out of sick kids hospital all the time, trying to figure out where the stomach pains were coming from. And as it turns out, obviously, you know, as an adult, I realized I had anxiety issues, you know, chronic anxiety issues. So I'm sure it was coming from that. But these pains cause these kids havoc. Like, it makes their lives very difficult. And it's a common symptom of stress, right, or anxiety. And, you know, everyone's used to those butterflies, right, before something happens. But it's like that, but much, much greater, much more debilitating. And the pain's not a figment of their imagination, by the way. It's very real. And the psychological part is understanding what triggers the pain. So the goal here is to figure out with someone like Jake how you get to the trigger, what causes him his discomfort. That's what we're really talking about here. So the fear escalated to the point with him where he couldn't touch a stick because there might be a lizard on it and so on. He had all kinds of issues that were growing. His heart was beating too fast, didn't know what to do, was all freaked out around COVID and reading the news, or hearing the news, I guess. I'm not sure a six-year-old reads the news, but it all settled in his stomach. So the problem was he ended up being diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder on top of his anxiety issues. And a person with obsessive compulsive disorder, so my OCD that I have, it translates to, having things, you know, in perfect form, things lined up, no mess anywhere. I don't do well with clutter. So in this particular case, his OCD comes from a constant noise in his brain, which is a different level of obsessive compulsive disorder, which can be very debilitating. But this all rests in his stomach. So if your kids are complaining that they have headaches, if they're complaining that they have tummy aches, if they're complaining they don't feel like eating, or that their legs are sore and they don't want to run around, or they just want to stay in bed, and they're suddenly, or you know, they're concerned, they get a lot of concern, asking questions that would raise concern for you, right? So stressful thoughts trigger things like a fight or flight response in your brain, and that causes the gut to cramp up, and these spasms are what cause the stomach pain. Includes constipation, diarrhea, nausea. So the basis of these stomach issues are where the anxiety lies. And, you know, for some people, it doesn't lie in their stomach. It may come somewhere else. Chronic headaches, pain to the back of the neck, leg pain, other parts of the body perhaps are more impacted. But the gut is something that anxiety settles in real easily for kids, and that they complain about their tummy ache and you just don't know where it's coming from. I would definitely be looking at some form of mental health diagnosis to make sure that they're on track and they're doing okay, right? One-fourth of the population of adults and children suffer such stomach issues in varying degrees. Obviously, some are much more debilitating than others. And treatment includes a combination of medicine and physical therapy, along with psychological counseling and lifestyle changes, particularly with diet and sleep habits. 416-872-1010 is how you can connect with me tonight. Or text me at 71010. Just let me know you're listening and you're out there. Keeps me in a job, keeps Patrick working, and everyone knows we're doing what we're supposed to be if you're out there responding. So the pandemic is causing rampant anxiety amongst children and also amongst their parents who struggle with the dilemma of whether to send their kids back to school. This becomes a really big deal. Right? Are they going to get sick? And how's that going to fare with, you know, me going back to work and dad going back to work and so on and so forth? Obviously, kids that have high risk medical issues like asthma, cystic fibrosis or muscular dystrophy, anything, any kind of bronchial illness, you know, you want to be really, really cautious. Preteen kids and teenagers, you know, they obviously want to get back to school as quick as they can to be with their friends. Guys like Jake, you know, he had to learn some tools at a very young age. With teenagers, it's a little easier. So Jake learned to keep his thoughts about the virus from running away with worst case scenarios. His mom basically taught him. They did some research together. They went online and did some research, and it seemed to help. And I recommend that to all parents. If your kids are struggling with something, go online and learn about it. And anyway, I like what Jake had to say at the end. He said, one simple tool that I've learned is to breathe. Learn how to breathe, he says. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth to calm down, and it lets my body relax. I don't think about the pain in my stomach. So I would like to just close my eyes and think about a place that makes me happy, and then I breathe. And that's how Jake, the six-year-old, manages his anxiety, and it's really cool for you to learn from because we should all be doing the same thing. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on in the schools in Quebec. They only went back for a couple of days. Now they got a bunch of teachers in quarantine. See you in a minute.
This is Straight Talk Live with crisis intervention specialist Yona Budd on News Talk 1010.
Yo, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you had a nice little break there. So we're talking here about back to school and the anxiety and stuff around it and choices that parents and teachers get to make and kids get to make. I'm not sure how many choices kids get to make per se, but certainly teenagers are given options. Right now it's 10:20. Do you know where your children are, your loved ones? If not, you need to go find them. If you can't find them, reach out to me right here, right now, 416-872-1010, or text us here at 71010. Please keep the text messages coming. It keeps me company late at night, and I love you guys. I'd like to know that you're out there hanging out and tuned into what we're doing. Teachers in quarantine and a temporary shutdown mark. Day two of back to school in Quebec. Yes, 20 staff were placed in preventative isolation after a positive test only on day two. They're back to school a couple of days. Only after the second day back in classrooms of thousands of Quebec students, problems at several of the schools broke out, including a temporary shutdown of more than a dozen teachers in one particular school sent off to quarantine. It illustrates the challenges ahead amid this pandemic, and in this, in particular, in the Lower Laurentians, students in grade 9 and 10 were told to stay home Friday after one of their teachers tested positive for COVID-19, becoming the second staff member to catch the disease in that particular school. The school also placed roughly 20 more teachers in preventative isolation. Students will likely return to school, they say, on Monday if the school can get replacement staff if necessary. So here's the other problem. The problem is that there's going to have to be teachers on standby. And I guess there's an excess number of teachers. I don't know this. If you know this answer, 416-872-1010, or please, excuse me, text us here at 71010. The province's health ministry promised faster testing for teachers would be in place in Quebec. There was a very small number of people affected, they say, considering the hundreds of thousands of students actually returning to school across the province. They hope to keep the numbers limited. The school announced only 2 weeks ago that it would need to relocate some students to an old school, which is formerly the part of the English Montreal School Board, while one of its aging buildings was undergoing emergency structural repairs. So these types of things are now adding concern to the parents in Quebec who have these kids going back to school already. That raised concern among parents whether children would be forced to take some form of public transit or buses to schools they normally could walk to because they had to be relocated. Now, herein lies one of the issues. And by the way, if you want to tune in here, 416-872-1010 if you want to call us, or 71010 to let us know you're engaged and any thoughts you have around what we're talking about would be appreciated. So parents are concerned now, and so are students, by the way. They're concerned about going back to school because going back to school for many of them is not just riding their bike or walking down the street. For lots of kids, lots and lots, it's either a school bus that apparently they don't have that figured out yet. It's going to be a school bus full of kids and not distanced properly and so on. I mean, it's a school bus, for heaven's sake. You can only distance it so often or so by so much, right? One bench is still only a few feet away. So they announced that these kids are going back to school, and a lot of kids are freaked out. I had a couple of teenagers call me over the last couple of weeks, and they're all concerned about after-school activities and the band. One of them plays in the band, and she expects to go on to university using her musical talents. A lot of kids are in schools that have special education around performance and band and such. They're not sure how that's all going to fare out. But getting to and from school is their biggest concern. They don't want to take the school bus, and they definitely don't want to take the TTC. Teenagers don't particularly take the school bus in suburban areas anyway, but they certainly do much more so in rural areas. But, you know, there's an issue with transportation. And in this particular case, these teachers got real pissed off because they were being moved, many kilometers away from their home base, which made it more difficult for the kids. There were other problems on Thursday, the first day back to school for across the province. There was a high school in Montreal South Shore where they sent home an entire class after learning that the father of one of the students had tested positive for the virus. So now we're not just concerned about the kids, and I'm talking about teenagers, young kids, little kids, you know, the ones that pick their nose and still eat it, you know, that age. And as much as teenagers, too, who touch their face and their hair and their nose and their ears and their feet and their, that's just what they do, right? That's we just touch stuff. I don't know how suddenly, over the last 5 months, we've trained people to not touch things and wash their hands constantly, but we'll hope, right? But in this particular case, a father of a kid got the virus, was tested positive. We don't know if he was sick or not, but he tested positive. Because, you know, there's a difference, right? between testing positive and actually being ill. So the school's principal decided that she was frustrated that public health authorities in Quebec took several hours to return a call asking for guidance what to do in terms of what to do. Do you send everybody home? It's only one kid, and so on. So in the end, she was told that the situation would have required only that the child of the infected parent be sent home. So I don't know how that works, right? Father's infected. Potentially the kid is infected. The kid's now at school, and they're relying, I guess, on masks and hand washing and social distancing, but only the kid that's potentially affected gets sent home. What about the other 15 or 16 or 12 or 14 in his classroom or her classroom? That's the part I don't get, right? So I'm not sure they got a real good answer, and I understand why parents are really nervous. I'm nervous. I'm a grandparent. I got two grandchildren going back to school soon. And I'm nervous about whether they're going to be able to come over, you know, for sleepovers and stuff like that. I had a grandmother call me about a week and a half ago telling me she hasn't slept in almost a month, worrying about her children and grandchildren and what's going to happen when they go back to school. And they've been up at the cottage for the last 3 months, and she feels much safer when they're there. And, you know, her daughter's not listening to her, and her son-in-law, you know, is a teacher and thinks everything's going to be great. And, you know, so we had to do some sessions around, you know, staying in the moment and not being anxious, looking into the future, and which is all you can do as a parent, right? Is just live in the moment, do the best you can with what you've got, and what's going to be is going to be. And hopefully you've got solutions and you've got, you know, a plan. So if there's a larger breakout in school, thousands of students head back to school, questions are concerning about how to deal with another potential outbreak. Do you cut school into pieces or not? So later on in the show, we're going to talk about the ABCs of going back to school, and it's going to explain some of that stuff, right? But we're not there yet, so we have more stuff to do. But the epidemiologist and the National Institute of Public Health in Quebec says cases in schools are to be expected in the coming days and weeks, given that the virus is still very much present in the community. The big challenge now is how to make sure that transmissions will be minimized in school. So it's expected. So what do you do? I'll tell you what my daughter-in-law is doing. My daughter-in-law is all hooked up. She's so smart. She's just got this sort of all together, right? The mom of my grandchildren. As schools and parents, teachers, they plan for this thing that's called learning pods. And these learning pods are small individual groups of kids that they get together. The founders of the Progressive Project-Based Schools, we teach students, this is what they're talking about, this learning pods organization. As founders of Progressive Project-Based Schools, we teach students how to embrace change and collaboratively solve problems with a growth mindset. But a lot of it's about individual learning, small gatherings of children. They're grouped closely by age who meet with a teacher at someone's home, and they learn together. So she has a group of five or six families for my granddaughter and my grandson where they would learn in somebody's home, or they'll rent a space, and they have a teacher lined up from a tutoring school that does this kind of stuff. And they're all set for what's called these learning pods. And it makes a lot of sense because they get to provide learning and education and interaction with other children without the fear of, you know, having to rely on a school board to make the right choice. And, you know, I don't know how much you spend time looking after kids or grandkids or, you know, people that are kids that are in school, but the school board doesn't always run things the way they should, right? So we have Mike on line one for a quick call here. Mike, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Good, buddy. The students that are having anxiety, I think it might be because of one or two of their parents are really anxious, and they're kind of projecting their fears upon their children instead of, you know, being relaxed and telling their children, listen, all you got to do is do your best, wash your hands, keep away from your fellow classmates, wear the mask, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. No, I appreciate the call, Mike. Thank you. You're absolutely right. Thanks so much for calling. But you're absolutely right. It's a question. If you got anxious parents, you're going to have anxious kids. And if you keep your stuff together, you know, you stand a much better chance of having calm, collected kids. But I'm going to go back to this learning pod thing for a second. The curriculum and projects are designed using schools' progressive project-based approaches. It's really cool stuff, though. It's families getting together to ensure that their kids get an education, and they get an education in a safe environment with a few other kids. Like, honestly speaking, do they, you know, when they're 7 or 10 or 6, do they really need 15 kids in the class? Or if they have 3 or 4 of their buddies, and it's usually families they get on with anyway, right? That's how these pods are created. They wouldn't be complete strangers. But it's interesting how they get it together, and you know, they have the plan. I mean, you know, she's this young lady who's the mother of my grandkids. She's just got it going on. So does my son. They're both very, you know, very active, as are their partners and such. They're very active in keeping on top of this stuff. And they've been using these learning programs and tutors and stuff throughout the summer and the months that led up to the quote unquote end of what was a school year. So when we come back, we're going to talk about an alternative school. It's not really an alternative school. It's one of the private schools here in the GTA. They're up in Vaughan. We're going to talk with them and a couple of the principals of their organization. And interestingly enough, we'll talk a little bit about the school when we come back from break. But they've got some really cool tech. And this tech is going to make it easier for kids to attend school. And I'm just thinking, if they're doing this, why isn't everybody doing it? But private school is an option. They're all booked solid. Everybody's booked. You can't find a space in a private school for any age kid, preschool or otherwise. So kind of like trying to get a tee time at a golf course. Almost impossible. When we come back from break, we're going to look how people who pay for their education, what they can look forward to. See you in a minute.
It's time to get help. It's time to tell your story. You're listening to Straight Talk Live with crisis intervention specialist Yona Budd on News Talk 1010.
Yo, yo, welcome back. We're still here hanging out, doing all kinds of stuff tonight around schools and anxiety around sending your kids back to school and all that kind of stuff. So if you're paying attention, there's lots to learn and like to hear from you. 416-872-1010 or text us here at 71010 like many of you have. Appreciate hearing from you. It keeps me company and it lets me know that you've got something to say. There's a school in Vaughan called King Heights Academy, and you can reach them by looking at them online here, kingheightsacademy.com. And they're an accredited private school. They have 35,000 square feet of school facility and an arena of about 50,000 square feet. And they deal with kids from grade 1 to grade 12. They're an international baccalaureate program, which provides for kids to come to and from other countries. And they do all kinds of things. There's a whole list of the stuff they do. But things that I really like, especially as it relates to tonight's conversation, individuals customized learning plans, enriched academic and applied level programming, optimal small class sizes. They have a science and technology lab, STEAM program, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, math, and mathematics. They include community service involvement. I mean, even for the little ones, right? Peer mentorship and tutoring. They do advanced strength and conditioning for kids. It's actually built into their program, as is food service, nutrition, meal planning, lunches. Like, it's cool stuff. I mean, it's a private school. You pay for it. They got smart boards and flat boards and stuff in the classrooms. They have, they have a media room, art room, several auditoriums. They deal with baseball, basketball, lacrosse, golf, and hockey. They have two fully renovated NHL-sized surfaces to play on the ice. High-performance strength and conditioning gym. They have regulation of basketball courts, indoor turf, outdoor fields, all kinds of all kinds of really cool stuff up there in Vaughan. We have two people joining us from the organization, from the school, Tim Sim, who's the Director of Education, and Carrie Goulette, who is their Public Relations Ambassador. Thank you both for staying up late and playing with me here tonight.
Thanks for having us, Yona.
It's a pleasure. Thank you again. So what's really interesting about this school, which is why we have them on, I don't have kids in the school, but if I had kids this age, I would consider sending them there. Because of how I just think the program is very cool. I know the woman who runs it. She's quite marvelous too. But they've got some really interesting things in place. This thermal digital kiosk station, which they have in the school, as described as a state-of-the-art kiosk, would be placed at the entry point throughout the school. Units are embedded with most advanced thermal and motion sensors. Basically, it tells you if the kids are sick when they walk into school, right?
That's exactly right, Yona. It's I think we're very lucky and privileged to have this. The owner of the school, Elsa Norberto, has gone out to hunt this down for us. It's essentially a facial recognition software, thermal sensors, that greets the kids when they come in the door, and parents or anyone else and staff. It has a touchless hand sanitizer, and then cameras and radar detection to to tell us a little bit about the flow of kids and social distancing and all those things. But it essentially screens. It's a screening point when anyone comes through our front door, and it reads the temperature of the youngster, and we get an immediate indicator at that stage of which way they're going.
Let me ask you something. Is this, I assume this is a costly investment. I mean, I'm just curious as to whether other school boards or other private schools are, you know, deploying this kind of technology, or if this is just something that Elsa, because she's, you know, always looking outside the box and running, you know, she's just ahead of the game. Is this just something that she was able to come up with? I mean, it's very cool. It's got a digital display, thermal sensors, optical camera, as you said, automatic hand sanitizer dispenser. It's got Wi-Fi and 4G connectivity, and it's got a complete management program that allows people to, for you, I guess, for the management, for the school to keep track of everything. Do you think this helps parents feel more comfortable? You know, I wasn't sure who I was. Was I just talking to Tim?
Tim, if you don't mind, it's Carrie. You don't
okay,
mind answering that.
Yeah, Carrie, please. How do parents feel?
Absolutely. It's called Presidio, and it's a leading-edge indoor analytic software. It's a kiosk that ensures health and safety in our entire academy. And I think with the situation right now with the education sector, it's very scattered, and there's a lot of unknowns, leaving a lot of staff, teachers, students, and parents to have anxiety returning to the class. And with this state-of-the-art technology, it's going to help them calm their nerves and allow us to use this state-of-the-art system to protect not only our staff, but most importantly, the students.
Let me ask you something. Either one of you guys, either Terry or Tim, either one of you can answer. But you know, you got a 50,000 square foot, you know, facility, 35,000 or more of school. You know, it's a big school. It's a big facility to manage. How many kids do you foresee having enrolled in the next? By the way, when are you going back to school? When does school start again for you all?
So we're starting on the 8th. I've talked to literally hundreds of parents this summer, Yona, and the mandate and what they've been asking for is for us to do our best to get kids back face to face in the classroom on time and as safely as possible. And you know, we've had the luxury this summer of sitting back and watching and learning and listening and putting together. I'm extremely proud of the admin team, an incredible reentry plan that I think has taken the best of all worlds for the safety of kids and families. And so I anticipate that we'll probably open our doors in September on the 8th with about 160 kids.
It's a big building for 160 kids.
And that works in our favor, if you think about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And What's the capacity, Tim? What is the capacity, or Carrie, either one? What capacity are you looking to gain? I mean, I understand you'll open with what would be. I mean, it sounds like a lot of kids, but it's a big facility, so really quite small numbers per classroom. Are you planning to grow it this year, or are you going to just hold tight because of the pandemic, or grow it slowly? Like, what's your kind of modus operandi here in terms of getting through the next, you know, the balance of 2020 and maybe the first half of 2021?
Well, it was a little bit of a perfect storm for us, Yona, because Elsa started King Heights Academy 10 years ago out of the Woodbridge campus. And just this year, she's put a team together to expand into the Thornhill campus as well. And right. So we're right in that transition period where we're quite happy with the numbers we have because given the situation with COVID, it allows us to add a little bit more protection right across the board.
So, Carrie, a question for you. You're only because I think it's only fair you get to share some too, right?
No, it's okay.
I don't want you to, and it's late at night. I don't want you to fall asleep. I don't want you to fall asleep on the air.
I will assure you that.
You know, the question I had for you is, you're not part of a school board per se. Who looks over your shoulder? Like, for example, like who's patting you on the back for Presidio putting this, you know, program in place? And who comes and inspects you guys? I guess, you know, day by day, week by week, to make sure that you're behaving yourselves and doing the right thing.
Well, I think obviously having Presidio in place will certainly calm the nerves of parents, the staff, and the students. But I think when it comes to who's overlooking that, I think Dave Tim can answer that question better. But I think what's important as you look at that, you've got to remember that the Presidio procedure will allow us to implement the protocols and measures needed to manage this data that we're talking about, and allowing us to maintain the most effective health and safety protocols, and which is far greater than any other education sector right now. So I think, Tim, you could elaborate on that, the people that will be looking at us.
Yeah, Tim, who's looking over your shoulder? I think Carrie's going to try to steal my show here. Tim, who looks over your shoulder, if anybody?
So these private schools are accredited by the Ministry of Education, and the public health of Ontario obviously has some insight into what's going on with COVID as well.
Okay. What do the public health people think about Presidio? They must be, like, really excited.
Well, I can only say that, I checked before I came on the phone with you tonight. We're the only school to have Presidio, and we're pretty proud of that. I think at this stage of the game, they've had a chance to even look at it, and we have a public health nurse that will be tied to our school, and I've got a feeling that she will be pleased to see it.
You have we only got a minute or so left. Do you have medical staff on medical personnel on staff?
We have one of our parents who is part of the admin team as exactly that. She's a registered nurse, and she's acting in that capacity.
Amazing. So I'm really excited for you folks, for all of you, and for the kids that are going back to school, because I saw the original campus, and it's really cool. I was impressed with the classrooms. I'd love to have one of those fancy whiteboards here. I asked Elsa if she would like send one over, but she said no. But I like those fancy whiteboards. I don't really need it. They just look really cool. But listen, will you both come back in let's say in a month's time, and let's look how the first month of opening went for you. The benefits and maybe some of the flaws perhaps in Presidio, if you find any. And let's just like re-up it and come back in a month or so, and let's look at what's going on there and see how well you're doing. Are you good with that?
We'd be more than happy to.
Amazing.
Absolutely. Really excited about that.
Okay, perfect. So we're talking about King Heights Academy in Vaughan, several locations. You need to look them up if you're looking at an alternative school to either having educational pods of your own, or, God forbid, sending your kids back to public school. Ooh, just makes you shiver and makes it go right up your spine. When we come back, we're going to look at the ABCs of back to school. Thank you both, Tim and Carrie, for joining me. And you both stay safe and good luck out there. And come back from break here. We'll look at what the ABCs are all about, according to TDSB and the government. Going to make you smile, I'm sure. See you in a minute.
This is Straight Talk Live with Yona Budd on News Talk 1010.
You're washing your hands, wearing your mask, standing, 6 feet away, doing all the right things. That's great. But if you've got little ones in your life, kids, or, kids are in the family, or your sister's got kids and you're going to go over for a Friday night or Sunday afternoon dinner or whatever it is you do as a family, boy, you got to rely on the fact that they're going to wash their hands and not pick their nose and eat it and not touch their face and all that stuff. I just don't know that you can do it. I'm really nervous about being able to count on it. Is it just me? 416-872-1010 if you want to talk about it. But if you just want to text me out there and say, hey, what's up? 416, you can do that at 71010. You can't phone me in text, but you can text me in text at 71010. The ABCs of back to school, some of it's going to make you cringe. I'm talking about a mom called me not long ago, and she's concerned about whether the TDSB actually knows what they're doing. She began telling me stories of, having issues with the guidance department. One of her preteen kids, her 12-year-old, were having some issues, and she's just not sure that they can carry the ball and do the job. You think the TDSB is up for the task? 71010 if you want to text me and let us know. I'm just not sure. I mean, I'm my kids all went to public school. I went to public school. We all turned out okay. But times are very different, right? Times, they are changing. Great song. Back to school plans are beginning to firm up, but educators warn that they can and will change as the situation evolves. So therein lies a level of anxiety. Where's the uncertainty? The uncertainty is we're going to try this, but if it doesn't work, we're going to do something else. We don't know exactly what the other thing is yet, but we're going to do something. We're not sure what it is, but we're going to do something. And if you're a kid, you're thinking, well, am I going to school? Am I not going to school? Are they going to call it off? They're not going to call it off. Should I study for the test? Shouldn't I study for the test? Because they're going to call it off. Anyway, they seem to have some approach. So let's look at the approach together. They're very tough decisions, by the way, for parents to make as they relate to going to sending their kids to school or not, standing back to see what's up, waiting perhaps, or you're going to be the one to hold your kid back that week just to wait and see. I don't know. I don't think so. I think you just kind of throw them in and take a big deep breath and hope for the best. Students in kindergarten to grade 8 will attend school 5 days a week with the same group of kids throughout the school day, but they can't share toys and stuff from what I can see because they all got to be distanced, and, you know, they're suggesting masks, even for the TDSB, they're suggesting masks for the younger ones. We'll get to that shortly here. Secondary students will attend in person for at least 50% of the instructional day. Parents can choose 100% remote learning for their elementary or secondary school students for the entire year or not. I'm hoping the kids get to participate in that choice. I would think that you don't want to make that decision up front. You might want to touch and feel it, because having them do remote learning means they're not hanging out with their friends. And by the way, you're thinking, oh, that's great. My 17-year-old isn't going to be smoking dope and smoking cigarettes with her friends at school anymore. Yeah, she's going to find another place to do it. School's a great place for kids to connect and be kids. That's what we need to let them do. Teachers and school staff must self-screen for COVID-19 daily before leaving for work, and students must either self-screen or be screened by their parents. So, you know, how do you feel? You got a headache, a sore throat, you know, all that kind of stuff. Maybe take their temperature. Not a bad idea. Everyone should have a thermometer. Student and staff are unwell, must stay home. Schools are asked to train their students on hand. Teachers are being asked to train students on hand hygiene and provide hand sanitizers in the bathrooms. Yeah, they don't even wash their hands, man. You're going to get them to use a hand sanitizer? There should be somebody in the washroom just to make sure. Did you zip up and did you wash your hands? Students in grade 4 and up must wear non-medical or cloth masks while indoors, including in class, unless there's a medical exemption. I don't know how many kids you know that are going to leave it on and not play with it, take it off, or pick at it, because that's just what they do, right? Kindergarten to grade 3 are encouraged but not required to make masks, although the TTSB and the TCDSB, the Toronto Christian District School, or Catholic District School Board, excuse me, have made them mandatory for even the youngest learners. Teachers and staff must wear masks at all times, which is a problem for a lot of kids, by the way, without getting into it, because we only got a couple of minutes as we race down to the final few minutes that we've got here. But, you know, the issue is that kids look at some, not all kids hear really well, and they rely on looking at the teacher's lips and facial expressions for part of the learning and for feedback and such. So now that teachers are going to have their face covered, it's going to make it more difficult for many kids to learn. It's important that they see facial expression. So the TDSB, the Toronto District School Board's rules, now they're going to open September 15th. The grades will be staggered over the first week, and parents are being told to wait for word from the principal as to when your child should come to school. So what are you going to do? Billy's going to be at the door. Katie's going to be at the door with their stuff all ready to go, and they're going to put me in. They're going to put me in. They're going to put me in. I mean, the anxiety would be through the roof. Me just thinking about it makes me want to sweat. School board will provide masks for staff and for teachers. Students need to bring their own, but they'll be supplied if you happen to forget them. Secondary students will have in-class learning on alternate days with synchronous live online learning and asynchronous independent work on a daily basis. Recesses, lunches, and bathroom breaks will be staggered to avoid other classrooms. Running into other classrooms, regular outdoor breaks will be scheduled for some non-mask time, so you don't run into it. Full-time online learning for elementary school is 180 minutes per day for JK, SK, and 225 minutes per day for grade 1 to 8. So that's how they determine. Students can switch from online classes to back into the classroom. They're going to have school set up into four quads, September 15th and November, with exams following after that. And, you know, so there are four times throughout the year where you're going to be able to opt in or out of independent online learning or in-class learning. Secondary student PA days are still going to be in place for four times throughout the year. Students wanting to move from inside the indoor remote to in-class have to let the schools know way ahead of time. So who knows how that's going to work. Students who do virtual learning have to take one course from 9 a.m. to 11:30 in the morning and a second course from 1 p.m. to 3:30 in the afternoon, and attendance will be taken daily. So there's stuff being put in place. I would just look into it before you freak out too much. I would give it a shot and see how it works. Just be prepared for it not to work out. Maybe pod learning is something you want to think about, pod classrooms. But just, you know, be attentive and listen to what your kids want to do. Because it's important that they participate in the decision process. But washing their hands is a good thing to teach them. Make sure they're wearing their mask. Teach them how to wear a mask. Buy them comfortable masks. There's some that are really good out there that you can find that make it much easier to breathe. So let's give it a shot. See what happens. We'll talk in a week. See what we can find. Hopefully no horrific stories. School doesn't start for a while anyway, so we got a couple more weeks to be anxious. Thanks for joining me this weekend. We talked a lot about anxiety and mental health. Hopefully it helped. If you need to reach me, 877-353-2777 anytime throughout the week, 24/7, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Thank you to my good friend Patrick for being here tonight and helping me do all this stuff. And thank you all for listening in and being the best audience ever. Make it a great week, a safe week, and we'll talk again real soon. Peace.